You never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman with Joe Hagman, as I like to say, America's premier father-son investigative team. We are the Hagman and Hagman Report. We left off last hour about talking about globalism and the rush toward globalism and how things, all things are working together toward that end. Let me ask everyone a question. Are you prepared for just such an eventuality?
Are you prepared to not be part of the civilization?
Well, and there's a lot of questions out there. How do I get prepared? What's the best? I mean, I would say the vast majority of emails that we get are about preparation. What can we do about this? What can we do about that? What can I do personally to help my family? How do I best get out of the way of what's coming, and so on? Well, with us right now, and I'm so sorry. We just with all the things that happened here in the run-up toward tonight's show, in addition to being out of our element with respect to making some upgrades for next week, and when we roll out our new upgrades, and it's going to be a lot better, is Chance from American Survival Wholesale, who's on with us right now, as a matter of fact. And what we're going to have him. We asked him, both John and I asked him, if he wouldn't mind coming on for a little bit, for a few minutes, to talk about specifically preparedness, things that we need to do. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, we have the owner of AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, Chance, with us. And our apologies, my apology, we were supposed to bring him on last hour, but being the astute radio show host we are, we kind of forgot about him. Chance, it's great to have you on. Sorry about the confusion, and I'm glad that we got you here. Thanks for not only being a sponsor, but being a brother in Christ to not only us, but to our listeners out there.
Blessings, guys. Listen, my dad had a saying, son, if that's the worst thing that happens today, you're doing good. So no problem, guys.
Well, amen.
I'll
to
take that.
Yeah. Well, we'll both take it. But you know, folks, American Survival Wholesale, they're more than just a sponsor. They're part of our family, extended family, and they've been with us a long time, or we've been together for a long time. We consider them partners, because that's really who they are. I mean, it's a veteran-owned, Christian-owned company. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. But more than anything else, I've watched American Survival Wholesale actually help so many people, and it's just, I could not. You'll never hear from Chance or the owners of American Survival Wholesale, but we've asked them to come on tonight to talk a little bit about preparations, about specific items. Chance, I'm going to turn it to you, and if you want to start us out with a prayer, let's do that, and we'll spend a few minutes talking about the specific preparation.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm going to ask everyone listening to please bow your heads. Father, as two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. Father, we ask that you flood our souls with your spirit and life, penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly, Lord, that our lives may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through us and be so in us. Father, we pray that every soul we come in contact with may feel your presence in our soul. Let them look up and see no longer us, but instead your Son. Father, allow us to shine in your glory as a beacon of light in these approaching dark days. Let us preach without preaching, not by mere words, but by our example. Father, we thank you and give you all the praise for this amazing ministry. Father, we thank you for using Doug and Joe Hagman as your vessels of truth. But Father, last and most important, we give you praise for your Son who shed his blood on my sin and the sin of everyone listening. In these things we pray in your holy name. Amen.
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 Fantastic. And thank you for that. Chance.
Guys,
yeah, go ahead. No, okay,
yeah, we're just going to be.
I'm going to be quiet
as long
now.
Okay, as long as you're going to have us, every week we'd like to offer a few free survival tips. So I would ask that either you get a pen and paper, or at least maybe listen to this again the next day or later on, because these are very, very important tips. Okay, number one. A lot of people don't understand how important a survival log is. Folks, it is imperative that you research your own area that you live in, study the plants, some that are edible, mostly which are not, draw pictures in your survival log, as well as the location of those plants. Keep maps, like physical maps of local rivers, streams, in your log. By the way, speaking of rivers and streams, never make your shelter near these. As you probably know, most insects, including mosquitoes, also congregate there. Now, if you're unsure of an edible plant, there are some tests. First, inspect it. Ensure the plant is not slimy or worm-eaten, and never risk an old or withered plant. Second thing you're going to do is to smell it. So you crush a small portion. If it smells like bitter almonds or peaches, throw it away. The third test, if it passes the first two tests, is skin irritation. So squeeze some juice or rub slightly on your skin, preferably under the arm. If you feel any discomfort, rash, or swelling, throw it away. If it passes that test, then go ahead and take a piece of the plant and place it on your lips. Wait 15 seconds. If there's no reaction, put it in the corner of your mouth. Wait 15 seconds. If there's no reaction, put it on the tip of your tongue. 15 seconds. Place a small piece under your tongue. And if there's no reaction, go ahead and chew it. So just know that in all those cases, if any discomfort's felt, you know, like soreness to the throat, irritation, stinging or burning, just discard it. Okay, so that's tip number one on plants and getting familiar with your own area. And we also want to talk about maps. So as a society, we're accustomed to using like smartphones for navigating from one point to another. Folks, if an EMP occurs, your phone's just going to be an extra unwanted paperweight and you're already full bug out bag. So that being said, learn how to use a physical map. Get to know, you know, this will help you get you to safety and help you familiarize yourself with your terrain. Learn how to use a compass in conjunction with your map. Many of these maps you can get for free. If you're a AAA member, you can go down to your local AAA office and they're free for the asking. Okay? So those are the two free tips we have for you today. We're excited to do this every week, and every week we're going to offer you two more tips, so tune in.
All right. So, what's the takeaway from this? Because, I guess, just taking a step back and looking at this in the larger sense, and looking at the spirit of these tips here, Chance, we're in for not the end of the world, but perhaps the end of a lifestyle that we once enjoyed. You know, the ability to go to the grocery store. So the ability to shop and get fresh food any day of the week. And on and on and on. So what we're looking at conceptually here, folks, in the larger sense, is being able to not just survive, but to survive well and thrive in times when our whole system is broken. So this so I just kind of want to lay out the concept for what we're doing here.
And it's not just to have food and water for you and your family, but if you have the ability to have it for all those who may be in need. Obviously, we're not going to be able to help everyone.
And you know what, Chance? I was talking with Eric, and this is a little bit off of the subject, Eric the Tech here, but still, this surprised me. Just as you were talking about the subject tonight, Eric said to me, and without getting into a whole lot of detail, you have to be careful. You know, when you, for example, shooting a deer or eating deer, believe it or not, the time of year does have, for an example, it makes a difference with respect to the meat. And I'm not talking about whether it's fatty or lean or whatever. I'm talking about there's toxicity in that. So what I said that to say this: even the best of us, sometimes we cannot cover all of the ground and education necessary. So what you're doing is you're helping us, and will be helping us consistently, adding to our repertoire of knowledge and education that we could use. I mean, this is actual stuff that we could use when the lights go out, or if the lights go out, or if we're caught in a position where we have to survive without help. I mean, that's the intent, that's the objective, and that's what you're doing, right?
Absolutely. That's the goal. Education is key to survival. Absolutely key to survival. So the more that you know, the more that you practice and train, the better off you're going to be prepared, not just for yourself, but for and your family, but for others as well. You mentioned, Joe, that, you know, it's not just, we're not just preparing for ourselves. It's scripturally based for the widows and the children as well. So we have to, you remember in the prayer, we talked about being beacons of light. You know, we have to lead by example. And so preparing for others will bring probably by the greatest revival of all times in these times coming.
Exactly. All right, now let me stray a little bit. Now, I know that your time is important, and thank you for your generous gift of time right now. For the people listening out there, and this is one question I got today in an email, and I get this question consistently, and I'd like, if you don't mind, we didn't talk about this, folks, before the program, but this goes for Melinda, who sent this email in, and probably a tens and tens of thousands of Melindas, hundreds of thousands of Melindas out there. She's on a limited budget. She has just woken up to what's going on, and she's wants to know basically where to start. And we have a lot of emails like that. Where do I start? Hey, just find your program. Understand time is short. So where do I start? Obviously, we can point her in your direction, but so you don't get 10,000 calls by people saying, "Hey, I'm on a limited budget. Where do I start?" Although I know you, so you'd probably attempt to answer every one of those questions, personally. But for the people who are just kind of out there on a limited budget, not being able to invest in gold and silver, not able to, you know, invest in a getaway home somewhere, what would you recommend for those people just starting out? What do you buy? Just a one can? Do you go to the grocery store? Do you go what do you do?
You know, for folks that, I'll use your expression, have more months than money, you know, there are things that you can do locally. You can go down to your local donut shop, for example, and they give away these food-grade buckets. Start picking up some of the things, and every time you go to the store, you know, pick up some rice, you know, pick up some steel oats, pick up, just start picking up some and get these into vacuum-sealed bags or at least freeze your... I mean, that's a place to start. Maybe $4 or $5 a year. So every do something.
Hey, James, you're cutting out a little bit, buddy. It's kind of hard to hear you. Every other word's coming in and out, and I don't want people to miss what you're saying to the audience. I don't know if you have a different
can you adjust phone the or
yeah, just, if you
just,
got
just
the
riveters,
antenna, bit. Maybe stand on top of your truck or building.
And we have a thunderstorm coming through for now, and it's a nasty one. But
oh, it's
can you
okay.
Hear me a little
just go
now?
Outside.
Yeah, we can actually.
No, it is better.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You were talking about storing food in
food grade
bags and other containers for the long haul.
Right. These buckets that I'm talking about, they're food grade. That's important, by the way. You can get these free of charge at like your local donut store. Every time you go shopping, pick up something. Pick up some rice. Pick up some oats. Pick up some beans. That's a start. Maybe $5 here, $10 there. Before you know it, you've got 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks of supplies, of prep. So that is a good place to start. Now, we've started a new program for folks that are on a budget and need more of a layaway program. And this is basically how it works. I'll do a free consultation, completely free of charge. We'll set up an appointment. Give us a call. We'll spend the time with you, and we'll discuss your family's needs. So maybe your family is gluten-free. Maybe it's there's a vegetarian issue. Maybe dairy allergies. We can put a package together for you, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, whatever you need, and, you know, on a layaway-type program where you can, you know, pay $50 or $100 until the pack is paid for, and we'll ship at that time. The consultation is completely free of charge, so okay. I'll go ahead and, if it's okay, I'll go ahead and give you our number to call.
Sure. Go ahead.
You can reach us at 818-720-0759. I'll repeat that, 818-720-0759, Sunday through Friday. Saturday, we are closed for the Sabbath. We do accept calls for prayer on Saturday.
All right. And you can always go to HagmanHagman.com, click on the link to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. One last question. Do you have entry-level packages with for a person with no dietary restrictions, basically? Do you have entry-level packages of food items like a week supply, a three-day supply, a week supply, a month supply?
We do. We have a 72-hour supply, so a three-day food supply under a dollar serving. We've got a week supply, a 30-day supply, 90, you know, a six-month supply, and, of course, a one-year food supply. And, folks, the one-year food supply, it's under 50 cents a serving, and we're talking GMO-free, MSG-free products, okay? I got to tell you guys, I get a little frustrated, a little angry seeing some of these guys out there charging $6,000 to $7,000 for one year food pack. It's not necessary, okay? 50 cents a serving based upon 360 servings a month. That's what you should expect, between 1,500 and 2,000 calories a day. That is a long term food storage pack, and that's what you should be paying, and no more.
Chance, does your company differentiate itself from other companies as far as servings are concerned, serving sizes, and what you recommend for a person, a man and woman, on a daily regimen?
Absolutely. So again, we recommend 300 servings per month per person. Okay, that's 4,000 servings per year. That's what we recommend. It's also based on calorie count. The minimum calorie count, what you and I, you know, exist on every day, is approximately 1,500 to 2,000 calories per day. Anything less than that, folks are going on a diet.
Okay.
Okay, what about the difference between calories from protein? I mean, what about protein?
It has to be a balanced approach. So, you know, protein is very important and, you know, in your dietary needs, as well as fruits and vegetables, as well as grains, good quality, you know, grains as well. So it's a balanced approach.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I know we kept you longer than we should have.
One last question. Sure. What's the best deal you got going right now, Chance? Whether it's a single pack, a seed pack, long-term storable food pack, survival gear. What's your best deal right now?
The program that we just discussed is probably going to be the best bang for the buck. That's going to be your one-year food pack for under 50 cents per serving GMO-free food. That's probably going to be the best buy, and we don't see, you know, prices are going up. They're not going down. So it's something that, you know, we hope a lot of people take advantage of, and at least give us a call, and we'll spend the time with you to find out what your family's needs are.
All right.
And they will do that, folks. You give them a call. As Chan said, that they not only take orders for long-term storable food, but prayer requests.
Yeah.
You want to talk to somebody and fellowship, give Chan a call.
I'm into that.
And Chan, thank you for doing all that you do above and beyond the call of duty for being a sponsor of the show and selling long-term storable food and survival gear. You do the Bible drives. You do the fellowship and the prayers and that's so much more than any other company.
And you know something? These tips are valuable. So go back and listen to what Chan said. Understand the importance tonight of the topic tonight. You're out plants. Toxic? Troublesome? Or okay? You know? There you go. Chan, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. God bless you both, and thank you all.
All right.
Thanks, Chan.
All right, so that's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And not just our sponsors, but educators too, as you just heard, educators informing. This is actionable intelligence, actionable information that you could use if you find yourself, even in situations of non-peril, you're out in the woods. Well, hey, I do that, you know. I mean, I don't really go in the woods, but, you know, you
find yourself in the woods often anymore?
No. But for example, you walk through, a park. We've got the nearby Presque Isle. You just don't know what you're looking at. I mean, and I often contemplate that. If I'm out in the wilderness,
like if there's a
problem, there's a problem there to begin with. If I'm in the wilderness, then there's something wrong, okay?
Yes.
Somebody finds me in the woods. You better.
Yeah, he's lost.
Yeah, I'd be lost. Because I'm a pavement kind of guy. Put me back on the pavement. But anyway, you know, you look at berries and you wonder, are they safe to eat?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up, there's at my grandma's house, she had, they planted raspberries and blackberries. They used to make jam. And we had a big field next to our house that had all these, a big tree we used to climb and all these different types of plants that would grow and the berries that would grow. And, you know, I knew we could eat the tree berries and the raspberries they grew. But other than that, you know,
you
I
just
stayed away.
Yeah, you really. So, again, our efforts to get everyone on the same page and everyone safe. And maybe you might be not able to be in the woods or be in a field if you're impaired or infirmed in some way or housebound, but this could help someone you know. So there you have it. But getting back to our topic.
And
go ahead.
With Stan Dale coming up next hour, Dare to Prepare.
Yes.
With the survival food and survival tools that Chance has at American Survival Wholesale. With those two, you know, if you have a year's worth of storable food, and you got a bug-out bag and water filters and Holly's book, Dare to Prepare, you will be, as long as you're, you know, unmolested, you will live much longer than the average person.
And then also don't forget, too, the health aspect. And we like to find the, of course, I think we found the premier, we found the premier health provider of nutritional supplements, because that's really, man, stuff out there, my goodness. And, of course, healthmasters.com. And they've got the best nutritional supplements. I can tell the difference, too. If I don't take the multivitamin and the B vitamins and C vitamins, I can tell the difference big time. So it's a holistic approach. Anyway.
Yeah, and you asked what the most important part of preparation is. And, obviously, that's the spiritual preparation is by far the most important. But pertaining to keeping our bodies alive, water, then food, is the rule of thumb. 3 days without water, you die.
Okay, so it goes like this: water, food, internet.
I'll take water, food, my family. Internet wouldn't be on that list.
You know, a listener, Beata, thank you so much for this. Remember, you had said, Joe, Paul Ryan said that he would not be...
Right,
if
today.
Okay. If
let me make it clear.
Let me make it clear, right? We wouldn't accept the nomination, wouldn't run as for president. Well, guess what? Beata from our listening audience sends us this. Dateline, October 8th, 2015, Washington, D.C. Paul Ryan says he will not be a candidate for House Speaker. Not, correct me.
Wait, he will not be what?
A candidate for House Speaker.
He already is the Speaker of the House.
Okay, so just to be clear now, wait a minute, he told us, he said, no way.
You mean he's not going to be a presidential candidate like he said today? He once said that he was not going to be the Speaker of the House?
Exactly.
Kind of like Obama as a sitting Illinois state senator said he would not run for president with such a short political career and turned around and ran for president?
Huh.
You mean these people lie?
You mean I can't believe them?
No, we can believe them.
Huh.
We will just be lambs led to the slaughter. But believe them all you want.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay, so does anyone have any? I guess, well, that statement was true at the time I made it. Yeah, but we'll go with that one.
This is where lack of accountability comes into play. Who are the people that use these puppets to carry out their agenda? We the people have the ability to hold these representatives accountable.
We do. But
we're
will
so
we?
Wrapped
do we?
Up in our internet. We're so wrapped up in our vices. We're so wrapped up in our leisure time and what we want to do with our leisure time.
Well,
we could care
again,
less once it comes.
You cut into my time, you know.
I know. Once you watch Married with Children, you know the.
Oh, that's one of my vices. You know, no, seriously.
No, like 5 in the morning.
If an episode, you know, I will turn it on. And I know I must repent, but I can tell you, there was some pretty interesting, there is some historical value to watching older programs. If you note the progression of, and if you look at it from a, and I'm not trying to excuse my behavior at all in any way, shape, or form, but if you look at the television, the progression of the obscenities, and I think back to like the 90s or what was it, 92 when NYPD Blue came on, and that was the first occasion of nudity, and then you got the
bad.
In retrospect, you can see the historical progression of the decadence that's being on cable, and they just had this O.J. Simpson program on FX Network or whatever that is. That went through the the foul language. Okay. I wrote my entire book without one use of the F word, and that was a murder investigation, believe me. Okay, I mean, you have to have sensibilities and be sensitive to your audience, of course. But, you know, I just, you look at this and you see the progression of decadence, and that's the only way I can describe it, and the acceptance and tolerance of that decadence when that should not never have been tolerated. Maybe really we should have really said, no, we're not going to do this. But anyway.
Check this out.
Yeah.
Look, he's coming to town tomorrow.
So Ted Cruz is going to be in here. I wonder if he's going to bump into Chelsea. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, Ted Cruz. What's with this little city all of a sudden gathering all these people?
We are a market. We are a specific market. A test market.
We don't even have bands, entertainers, rappers, singers, whatever you want to call it, pop culture. You don't get one person that brings a concert to the city. As I said, the last sitting president to come and campaign was Bush in 04, and I think he did that for the sake of Tom Ridge, because this is Tom Ridge's hometown. This city doesn't get any kind of attention. We used to be the third biggest city in Pennsylvania, and now we're down on that list, down to the fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
So it's kind of been, you know, it's like Buffalo. It's been gutted of its jobs. It's been turned into a half city, half slum, and it's been ignored. And it's just odd in the same week to see a former president, a presidential candidate, and a soon-to-be inmate's daughter coming to town. Possibly inmate. Anyway.
I just want to remind people that we are upgrading for next week. We're making some changes on the studio, which requires us not to have video tonight, but we'll be back with video tomorrow. And then, again, it looks like we might not have video on Friday. The audio should be clear, clean, crisp, whatever, but we're making some changes. So tomorrow night you're not going to see any difference. Thursday night you're not going to see any difference. Just wait until next week, and then you'll see the difference. So, baby steps, folks, baby steps. All right. So the bottom line here, with respect to, message from Greg Jackson too, the author, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die. Colorado rigged caucus. Should it really surprise us or surprise you that a nation that allows 4,000 babies to be murdered daily also has rigged elections? And even if you don't consider it to be rigged or unlawful, if you consider it just unethical in terms of the strategy or the plans, or even without, you know, antithetical of the spirit, it's...
I mean, he's right. The fact that there...
Absolutely.
People would rather, would vote before protesting the wholesale murder of babies is just wrong. The fact that we go about our daily lives without giving it a second thought, or, you know, it's unfortunate we don't. And I say we, I'm not talking about people like Coach Dave and people who are on the front lines every day fighting these people. But there are certain things in society we cannot choose to accept or coexist with, and baby murder is one of them.
Precisely. We have to look at the spiritual component, the fact that we are a nation under, I believe, under judgment, or should be under judgment, will be under judgment, regardless of how you want to look at it. Judgment is either upon us or the beginning of it, or we're in for it.
We're under judgment, but have not seen the, I don't know how many people, if any, will be left when the totality of judgment's over. It was said at the Hear the Watchman conference that, you know, the same-sex marriage is judgment on this country.
In a way, it kind of is, I suppose. But.
Yeah. I mean, look at these temples for Baal going up around the country and around the world. This is not some, you know, UNESCO, old religious site. This is a abomination in the Bible, a altar to the devil, and sacrifice of children being re-resurrected in our country, in our cities, for the purpose of shoving the middle finger to God while they say he doesn't exist.
Yeah. Of course.
That's part of globalism.
Yeah. And Debbie from Cleveland sent an email before the show. Cleveland, Ohio seemed to be the home of the RNC convention. Because this does fit in with what we're talking about tonight, but it also fits in, too, with the conversation that we're going to have on Thursday. She writes this, mulling this over, thought it might be worthy enough to forward on to you. As you know, having just met with Biden and Yellen, the renegade in chief, God, I love it when people refer to Obama as the renegade in chief. Of course, for those new listeners, renegade is Secret Service code name. Renegade in chief is appropriate because renegade means lawless one.
Will you accept chief of renegades?
No, renegade in chief. Okay. No. And thank you, Debbie, for that. But anyway, the renegade is now contemplating and has his sights set on the Secretary General position of the UN. And again, this is the globalist position that, or the globalist, the unit, the umbrella of globalism that I believe will take over, or at least will take over this part of the West. But she writes that you're also aware that just the other day in Colorado, Cruz celebrated a voterless victory, and that's equally right. I mean, that's correct. And Sharetz, I contend this was deliberately done to keep Donald Trump from achieving the 1,237 delegates needed to capture the nomination. Now, you couple this to the fact that Biden is secretly being groomed to ascend to the highest position in the land. And you know, should Hillary be indicted for Benghazi or infamous emails or whatever, what do you have? What do you have when you take all of these dots, all of these little seemingly disparate thoughts? What do you have? Well, you got Secretary General Obama, perhaps? Or perhaps worse, he could enforce some sort of police action, martial law, whatever, to remain in office. And think about that. Well, the conservatives might not riot.
I see Jeb Bush as being appointed at a contested convention. He did call it in one of the first debates.
I really believe that. I really believe it's going to be a Bush-Clinton ticket. And my wife says, oh, man, take some medicine or something. Do you have any medicine to take? If you do, take it. Maybe I'm wrong. What does it matter if all of the players are already compromised, the establishment players? If they're all working toward the same ends, does it really matter one over the other? I guess it really doesn't. So it could be, but think about that. So what would happen? Are we going to see riots because of the RNC? No, I don't believe so.
You might see localized issues in Cleveland. They didn't spend $50 million on riot gear and crowd control.
But where would it come from? Where would it come from, Joe?
It would come from the Trump supporters at the convention. Plus the people outside who are expecting this to happen, who come for trouble and or to assert their right to protest freely. And then it will snowball from there.
But I believe that you have a lot of people who are saying they're Trump supporters.
Yeah.
That are not, that maybe Cruz or Sanders supporters or Hillary supporters or whatever.
Well, they're Trump supporters that will settle for.
No. I believe that you actually have this group or these. It may not be a coalesced group. It might be little individual initiatives or perhaps loosely organized. But hey, let's put on the uniform, the Trump uniform, and go out and protest, or go out and be violent, and then everything will be blamed on Trump. Either that, or the perception will be started by the
continued
by that,
because the protests that have turned violent have already been blamed on Trump, even though that these people are the ones gathering against him. They've been blaming Trump for it.
And my litmus test, or my research, looking at the Facebook with social media, the trends on Twitter and such, is you're right, the blame factor. So
here's a prediction. Donald Trump leaves the RNC in handcuffs. Hillary gets the Democratic nomination and Bush gets the Republican nomination.
Why handcuffs? What would he do?
Well, the same thing, you know, it's his fault that there's all this commotion and violence.
How about this? He just leaves and just leaves.
I mean, I say that because, you know, yesterday you mentioned a story. Somebody who used to work for Trump or knew Trump was threatened with arrest for something that wasn't even illegal and he didn't even have anything to do with. Who was it?
You had a couple of people, but there were a couple of examples, and
I can't remember the guy's name. Well, the one guy's name that you
called me
in the office and showed me the article. It was he was going to be arrested for harassing delegates or...
Exactly. That was Roger Stone.
Yes.
And he has not been associated with Trump, according to Trump and Stone. Stone admitted this, said that he fired Trump several months ago, and Trump said, no, I fired Stone. I mean, there seems to be an animosity between the two, yet Stone is equated with Trump. And I think that you know, it's that association, perceived association. And remember, today perception is reality. When you're limited to 140 characters on Twitter, or you're limited to conversations of a few sentences, and the average person in the West, whether you live in the UK or the United States or Canada or anywhere, has the abbreviated attention span or the attention span of a gnat. Well, yeah, you're going to have this perception becomes reality. And that's what we're seeing. So, but the globalists, the meat of all of this tonight, and last night and continuing on, is we are watching the end game play out. Now, it could be the end of the third quarter, it could be the end of the fourth quarter, but it is, we are in the final half of the game.
And I'd like to read a quick scripture, Second Psalms. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in sore displeasure. And the
where did that come from?
Second Psalms.
Okay.
And it goes on to say, you know, that he will break them into pieces with a rod of iron and dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. The commentary from Matthew Henry says this: here we have the very great struggle of the kingdom of Christ and hell and heaven contesting it. The seat of the war is the earth, where Satan has long had a usurped kingdom and exercised dominion to such a degree that it has been called the prince of the power of the air, the very air we breathe, and the god of this world we live in. He knows very well, as the Messiah's kingdom rises and gets ground, his falls and loss of ground will be set up certainly. It shall not be set up tamely. The mighty opposition that would be given to the Messiah and his kingdom and his holy religion and all the interests of it, one would have expected that so great a blessing to this world would be universally welcomed and embraced. But it goes on to say, it is quite the contrary. Never were the notions of any sect of philosophers, though ever so absurd, nor the powers of any prince or state, through ever so tyrannical, oppressed with so much violence as the doctrine and government of Christ. The sign that was from heaven, the opposition was plainly from hell.
Right.
And it goes on to say that we are told Christ and his adversary, the devil, we will continue in this country and in this world to see the people of Christ versus the violent, oppressive tactics of the devil. And as the heathen rage, the Christians will grow stronger. It will seem as though we were not winning. And I'm paraphrasing a huge paragraph here in this sentence. It will seem like the church is losing battle after battle. But it goes on to say here, the reason for the stoutness of heart and the defiance is, and the proud daring, is the Babel builders, and their will continues to persist to their resolution. It is a confined confederate opposition taken together in opposition to the Lord, the Messiah. And they will continue to work against the kingdom of Christ until his throne is established on earth. And that's, I mean, really the beginning of an end of globalism from a spiritual perspective. You're dealing with spiritual powers, both good and evil, that are swaying the carnal and fleshly nature of men, or the spiritual nature of men.
We must understand that the battle we face is heavenly, and we are seeing a heavenly battle rage and being waged, and it playing out here on earth. We're seeing the and Russ Dizdar talks about this a lot. Tom Horn talks about this, and other luminaries talk about this, and I call them luminaries because they do shed light on what we're seeing. There is this mechanism of darkness, and of course, we must understand that we are seeing here in our lives, in our lifetime, this play out, this great battle.
And
of course, it's a heavenly battle as well. Before we go any further, this is a good time to mention too, if you are feeling stressed and overwhelmed, and most of us do feel that way. I mean, the majority of people are feeling just overwhelmed by the headlines, unmotivated. If you feel that life is running you instead of you running your life, well,
is that
you're
when
not
you go
alone.
Out in the back and that's empty your clip in the back here? Oh, no,
magazine,
no.
Magazine, not clip, magazine. And of course,
I'm
I never
sorry.
Do that. Never do that.
Holtones.com.
Holtones.com.
The owner. We've received just tremendous feedback. We continue to receive awesome feedback from not only his appearances on our show as a guest, but also from customers of whole tones. I have not seen a negative email. I've seen people saying they've been able to sleep better. They've had physical healings. I'm not making any of this up. These are emails we have received. We can even put them on the website.
Yeah, and you can experience their scientifically proven powers of music therapy with wholetoneslive.com. And they've got a collection of music therapy that can help reduce stress, ease your mind, motivate you, whatever mood that you want to acquire. And this is not new age. Some people say it's new age, it's unproven. Well, okay, then the Bible is unproven because this adheres to biblical doctrine. You can get started today, listen to a free sample of this amazing music that heals and inspires and all of this at wholetonesalive.com.
You want me to catch a verse here?
That's okay. Because you mentioned we had Michael Terrell on our show and how he explained how this music was inspired by the music frequencies of King David. Folks, just go to the website and download a free sample at wholetoneslive.com. Support the Hagman and the Hagman Show. Go to wholetoneslive.com. That's wholetones, W-H-O-L-E, toneslive.com, wholetoneslive.com. All right, so and looking at this from a bird's eye view, from a couple of miles flying distance, looking at what we're seeing here, the politics of destruction. That's the only way I can consider this, the politics of destruction.
Yeah.
Is and somebody had written to us. Jim wrote us earlier today in the middle of the day. Subject, politics. Okay, here's what he wrote. He said, we should not be all that concerned with who gets president. God will decide that. We should be making winning souls to Christ our first objective. I don't know.
I agree with
what an intricate is. Well, okay, yeah, I agree with that as well. Okay, now can we do both? Can we win souls and relate to others? Because what I see taking place within the Christian community, Joe, what I see taking place is this absolute frenzy, frenetic. I don't know. Give me some adjectives out there. Somebody.
Well, I would say this: we cannot save souls and change people's perceptives politically at the same time.
Wait,
probably not a good idea.
Wait a minute, we can't change.
We can't save souls and politically try to. Saving souls is something separate from the world systems of control.
Okay, fine.
I guess.
Okay.
It's something we can do. Saving souls and then helping people.
I get all of that, but folks, we are living in a world where there's the main topic is obviously, or people are. What are people talking about? They're talking about the American presidential election and all of the weird oddities associated with that. So we address that, yes, but we infuse and we look at it through the prism of biblical prophecy and scripture.
Right, because when everything's all said and done, Jesus is not going to say, who did you, how many people did you lead to vote for the right candidate in the 2016 election?
But on the other hand, right, I get that, but he's also going to say, what did you do when you were on earth as a man or as a woman? What did you do?
Yes.
What did you do to stand up for what is right? What did you do to stand up for those innocent babies?
And my question
what did
to
you,
you
do?
Is, would the answer exposing evil be enough?
Well, okay, that's a start.
No, I know, but I mean,
is it enough? No,
no, but it's definitely a start, and it's definitely in the right direction.
But see, okay, if you want to grab a Bible, go into your prayer closet and stay there. Then, if that is what God has allowed you to do, or if that's what you believe God instructed you to do, is to take your Bible, go into your prayer closet, and stay there, and put the blanket underneath the door, and stay there 24/7. I have no problem with that. I've got no problem with that. Wait a second. Let me finish my statement, because to me, this is where Christians, I believe, fall short. I believe Christian men in this country fall short of what they are supposed to do. We are not supposed to be wimps and roll over and say, well, okay, you know, I mean, Obergefell, it's the law of the land. I cannot do the voices like Eric can, but I am saying right now, we are to, as Christians, we are to stand up as men of God, as family members, as fathers, as husbands. We are to stand up and say, this is wrong, morally and God, spiritually wrong. This is absolutely wrong. And I will fight to change what is wrong. Not because I'm under the red, white, and blue flag or under the Australian flag. No. Because I am a Christian, true Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. It's wrong. Homosexual marriage is wrong. Killing babies is wrong. Killing unborn babies is wrong. And I am to protect my family and to lead others to God at the same time. I am not confined to my prayer closet. And if that is your job, then God bless you.
No, I just wanted to say this. How it works in my life, I could go for a month of reading nothing but the Bible. And then for another month, maybe two, I won't want to read the Bible, or the Lord doesn't put the desire in my heart. Doesn't mean I don't pray on a daily basis. Doesn't mean that, you know, in the mornings I don't enter my prayer closet, so to speak. Doesn't mean that that's not always on the forefront of my mind, but the Lord has the time and a place for everything. Lavi, you say, you know, things are not mutually exclusive. Well, saving souls or leading people to the Lord is not, and does not have to be mutually exclusive from the politics of this world, and it's becoming more intertwined to where it is only becoming.
So you made my
spirituality
point.
Well, no. I'm saying that there is room. People do need to get in their prayer closets. And if the Lord needs them there for the whole day, then that's what he needs them to do. But usually the Lord puts people in their prayer closets to get the spiritual insight and power to walk the daily life of faith in carrying out his will.
All right. But that's fine. But I look.
And I understand what you're saying.
I'm saying that we have a bunch of wimps out there.
People's thoughts out there. You read it on the back of here.
We have a bunch of wimps out there who will use that as an excuse, not as their calling,
right?
But use that as an excuse. Well, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray about it. Well,
not
okay,
an excuse, but they will. We were talking with Rhonda yesterday, and she said it best. I can't remember exactly what she said. We as Christian people in today's day and age are very reactive, and maybe I'm merging two trains of thought here. What Rhonda said versus what you said, you know, being not reacting.
No, I said this,
but
the people there's a difference between reactions and responses,
right. And we have a very fragile Christian people right now.
Why the fragility? Why? Because
two reasons.
One of the biggest reasons, in my view, is that we don't have the men with the testicular fortitude, intestinal fortitude out there to stand up and say, I am a God-fearing, Jesus-loving Christian. Here are my values, and you're not going to impose your satanic, Luciferian, progressive, perverted values upon me or my family. I'm not going to have it. If we had more of those Christian men and Christian women stand up, it's really the man's job.
And you're right.
Okay.
But guess what? Those don't get covered in the news.
Well, I don't care what gets covered in the news.
Talked about by people on the daily blogs, and you know the cops who bring a homeless guy a pair of shoes, the people who are in front of Planned Parenthood, the pastor saving unborn babies. Those are not
okay. I'd rather be shoulder to shoulder with a guy like Dave Dobemeyer out there in the trenches and saying, you know what, you're an evil woman that's escorting that woman into the Planned Parenthood clinic, and how can you live with yourself and you know, being in their face. I'd much rather be him. And then, of course, ministering to the women and others, doing both, because he does both. So why not do both? But I contend to you right now, right here and right now. And you know, it's interesting. I love the people. I love the emails I get saying, you should not yell. Well, you know what? Then change the flipping dial.
Or you should listen to when we're not on air. Right. I'm kidding.
Tune into somebody who won't yell.
Folks, we're going to be right back with Stan Deo from standeo.com. We're going to talk about a number of things. There's a new Fukushima radiation release. Go to standeo.com, click on show links or show images page, get an idea of what we're going to be talking about. Coming up right after this. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.